After walking through a metal detector, no problem with the Orizas, and past a rent-a-cop dozing on a stool, Jake determined that one of the smallest lockers, those on the far left-hand side of the long room, would accommodate the Midworld Lane's bag and the box inside. To rent the box for the maximum length of time would cost $27. Per Callahan fed bills into the various slots of the token-dispensing machine carefully, prepared for a malfunction. Of all the wonders and horrors he'd seen during their brief time back in the city, the latter including a $2 taxi drop charge, this was in some ways the hardest to accept. A vending machine that accepted paper currency? A lot of sophisticated technology had to lie behind this machine, with its dull brown finish and its sign commanding patrons to insert bills face up. The picture accompanying the command showed George Washington with the top of his head facing to the left, but the bills Callahan fed into the machine seemed to work no matter which way the head was facing, just as long as the picture was on top. Callahan was almost relieved when the machine did malfunction once, refusing to accept an old and wrinkled dollar bill. The relatively crisp fives it gobbled up without a murmur, dispensing little showers of tokens into the tray beneath. Callahan gathered up $27 worth of these, started back toward where Jake was waiting, and then turned around again, curious about something. He looked on the side of the amazing to him at least it was, currency-eating vending machine. Toward the bottom, on a series of little plaques, was the information he'd been looking for. This was a Change Maker 2000, manufactured in Cleveland, Ohio, but a lot of companies had chipped in. General Electric, DeWalt Electronics, Showery Electric, Panasonic, and at the bottom, smallest of all but very much there, North Central Positronics. The snake in the garden, Callahan thought. This guy Stephen King, who supposedly thought me up, may only exist in one world, but what do you bet North Central Positronics exists in all of them? Sure, because that's the Crimson King's rig, just like Sombra's his rig, and he only wants what any power-mad despot in history has wanted, to be everywhere, own everything, and basically control the universe. Or bring it to darkness, he murmured. Pear, Jake called impatiently. Pear! I'm coming, he said, and hurried across to Jake, with his hands full of shiny gold tokens. 14. The key came out of locker 883 after Jake had inserted 9 of the tokens, but he went on putting them in until all 27 were gone. At this point, the small glass porthole under the locker number turned red. Maxed out, Jake said with satisfaction. They were still talking in those low, mustn't-wake-the-baby tones, and this long, cavernous room was indeed very quiet. Jake guessed it would be bedlam at 8 in the morning and 5 in the afternoon on working days, with folks coming and going from the subway station below, some of them storing their gear in the short-term coin-op lockers. Now there was just the ghostly sound of conversation drifting down the escalator well from the few shops still open in the arcade and the rumble of another approaching train. Callahan slid the bowling bag into the narrow opening. Slid it back as far as it would go, with Jake watching anxiously. Then he closed the locker and Jake turned the key. Bingo, Jake said, putting the key in his pocket. Then, with anxiety, will it sleep? I think so, Callahan said, like it did in my church. If another beam breaks, it might wake up and work mischief, but then, if another beam lets go, a little mischief won't matter, Jake finished for him. Callahan nodded. The only thing is, well, you know where we're going, and you know what we're apt to find there. Vampires. Low men, other servants of the Crimson King, maybe. Possibly Walter, the hooded man in black, who sometimes shifted his shape and form and called himself Randall Flagg. Possibly even the Crimson King himself. Yes, Jake knew. If you have the touch, Callahan continued, we have to assume that some of them do, too. It's possible they could pick this place and the locker number out of our minds. We're going to go in there and try to get her, but we have to recognize that the chances of failure are fairly high. I've never fired a gun in my life, and you're not... Forgive me, Jake, but you're not exactly a battle-hardened veteran.